For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry. When you visit the campus of Center College in Danville, you can't help but notice C6HO painted on buildings inside and out. The year was 1921, when Center nabbed an athletic triumph that some have called the greatest upset of the first half of the 20th century.
Center College went up to Cambridge, Massachusetts to play Harvard, which was then the number one powerhouse. They were the number one football team 3 years in a row. And Center went up to Cambridge and beat them 6-0. Everyone was so excited, they painted C6HO everywhere.
Center has scored again, so to speak. The liberal arts college in the heart of Kentucky's bluegrass region will host its second vice presidential debate on October 11th. In 2000, Center hosted the VP debate between Dick Cheney and Joseph Lieberman. So what is it about a small-town school that's been chosen twice for such a major political event? Dr. Richard Trollinger is vice president of college relations and serves as co-chair of the debate steering committee. He says Center has always been a small college that thinks and acts big.
It's just, you know, part of our DNA that we like to do things that exceed normal expectation.
While the school boasts of that football win of 1921, Center College has a rich political history, too. Founded in 1819, Center is the alma mater of two vice presidents and two Supreme Court justices, and it's the smallest school to ever host a general election debate in one of the smallest communities. While preparing for the October debate has been a challenge, Dr. Trollinger says experience is the best teacher.
It's been easier in the sense that we knew more about what we were doing. We were climbing such a steep learning curve. Every day in 2000, it was just so much we had to learn about the technical needs of the debate in particular.
Shane Wilson is coordinator of network services on campus. He's been working since November, making sure all the technical aspects are in place for the hordes of national and international media. He speaks with us inside Sutcliffe Hall, which has been converted into a media filing center.
So what we had to actually do is build a small data center. And four buildings that are being used on campus are actually all feed to this one room, and all of the internet connections and phone services and other services being hosted on campus for the debate are all coming out of this room temporarily.
The Media Filing Center is the size of three basketball courts and contains 550 workstations just for print media alone. Wayne King, Director of Facilities Management, can attest to all the strict guidelines that come with hosting a debate.
We're adding air conditioning to the stage. We have to have 65 degrees on the stage where the candidates are sitting. Can't get any warmer. That's 65 degrees with all the show lights that's being added. The audience can't be any warmer than 68. Candidates cannot sweat and they cannot blow their hair. If we do, we failed.
Someone else who knows the ins and outs of debate hosting is Les Fugit, who in 2000 was president of College Republicans at Center.
I was in the debate hall, got to watch the debate. As soon as the debate was over, then I went over to Spin Alley and was part of the response team, but I gave the college student response.
For the young man who wanted to be a college president, the debate experience led him in another direction.
It's a lot of connections that you'll make with people if you use it correctly. For the different campaigns, with the news media. And what happened for me is that I did all of these different interviews so often that when a friend of mine ran for political office and won, he needed someone to be his director of communications. And as he says, he couldn't afford someone with experience. So I was the next guy because he remembered me doing all of those interviews.
That friend who hired Fugit was then Secretary of State Trey Grayson. 12 years later, a new crop of student politicos are waiting for doors to open. Donovan Whiteside spent the summer interning in Washington. Now Washington is coming to him. As a government major, the debate is naturally exciting for him, but Whiteside likes how students less interested in politics are tuned in.
You can read and hear about a lot of these events, but when you have such an international event such as this coming right in your front door, it's really amazing for the students to be able to see this firsthand. Where you have Secret Service and you have all news media from around the world reporting right here in front of you.
Luke Wetton is president of Center College Republicans. He says the upcoming debate has helped revive what was largely an inactive organization.
We're bringing it back. The students obviously are excited because you're going to have one of the biggest political events in the country in our backyard. My hope is that when that finishes, even after the election, we'll still have students who are engaged and interested in what's going on.
Hosting the 2000 debate ushered in a decade of unprecedented progress at the college, including $100 million in new construction.
And in addition to those things that are made possible by increased giving, we've had an increase in the number of out-of-state applications every year since 2000.
For debate co-chairs Richard Trollinger and Clarence White, hosting not once but twice is an overwhelming vote of confidence.
Part of the reason we do this, of course, is that it provides opportunities for telling the center story to a much larger audience.
You know, Richard talks about some of the things that are kind of quantitative indications of a spirit that it brought to this place. And I think it's created an even greater sense of there's nothing this place can't do.
In the words of Trollinger, when we put our best foot forward, the shoe has been polished. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. Center College in Danville, Kentucky was the center of the political world last night for the first and only vice presidential debate before the election. So who won? Well, depends on who you ask. Lisa Autry was in Spin Alley and got reaction from Kentucky's political pundits.
It sounded like a call to the gates, but the bugler for Churchill Downs, in effect, issued a call to the stage. Vice President Joe Biden and Republican challenger Paul Ryan met in their first and only debate at Center College in Danville. And with that, the candidates were off to squabble over the economy, taxes, Medicare, and foreign policy. The 90-minute face-off was fast-moving and feisty. Ask how the candidates performed, and the answers fell among party lines. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky said Paul Ryan succeeded in what he needed to do.
Absolutely. There's nobody in Congress smarter than Paul Ryan. He pointed out this is an election that's a very big choice for the American people, and I thought the vice president constantly interrupting and talking over Paul Ryan's answers showed a sense of desperation and a desire to kind of reinvigorate the base after the disaster of last week.
Vice President Joe Biden mockingly smiled, wagged his finger, and couldn't seem to stop interrupting Republican running mate Paul Ryan. Republicans panned the vice president as disrespectful to his younger opponent. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul was among pundits in the spin room, eager to comment on the incumbent's demeanor.
That was the biggest thing you noticed, that there was sort of an arrogant sort of Cheshire Cat smile, smirk the whole time. You know, you remember when Gore did all that sighing that one year, people were kind of put off by it. I got the same sort of uneasy feeling that he was a little bit too overconfident, that he was knew the issue somehow better than everybody else on stage.
Democrats, on the other hand, including Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway, cheered the vice president's sharp tone.
I think he brought the fight tonight, which is what he needed to do. You know, I hear the Republicans are trying to say he got feisty, but, you know, Joe Biden's a scrapper from Scranton, Pennsylvania. So I think a lot of Democrats wanted someone to get up and point out when people weren't being truthful or the records were being distorted or somehow they were being less than candid. I think the really telling point in the debate was when Martha Raddatz kept saying to Congressman Ryan, what are the specifics of your plan? What are the specifics? What are the specifics? He had nothing. He's got snake oil.
In the opinion of Lieutenant Governor Jerry Abramson, Congressman Ryan failed to do his homework.
It looked like a professor and a student. The professor had been giving lectures, asking students to read the material, and the student kept asking questions that were inaccurate in terms of the material he was supposed to have read. And the professor said no. And the third time he said no, he finally went through and said, this is the way it is, and these are the facts that exist.
Although vice presidential debates rarely result in major shifts in elections, this matchup was viewed as one that could really matter. After the first presidential debate that garnered President Obama negative reviews, the stakes were raised. But Senator Paul, rumored to be a 2016 White House contender, didn't think the outcome was a game changer.
I don't think a great deal, to tell you the truth. I think it's important that both sides keep getting their issues out. And I think really it's somewhat of a break-even point. I don't think anybody comes out of this debate saying, oh, we won so much that now the campaign's going our direction. However, I think the momentum's been with Romney because of his debate performance and still will continue to be so.
The vice presidential contenders are now one and done, but it's still game on as President Obama and Governor Romney meet again next Tuesday. I'm Lisa Autry for WKU Public Radio.